Hello, OMT3701 students. In the previous podcast, we looked at sensitivity analysis with the simplex tableau, specifically right-hand side ranging. That is, what happens to the optimal solution of an LP problem if there is a change in resources. If you have not listened to podcast 5, the previous podcast, or have forgotten what it is all about, please listen to it now before continuing with this podcast. This second part on sensitivity analysis is also covered in Chapter 5 of your study guide and Chapter 9 in the 10th edition and Module 7 in the 11th edition of your prescribed book. I have again prepared a summary to accompany this podcast. Please download the PDF file called Sensitivity Analysis 2 from additional resources on MyUNISA and keep it at hand. Do you have it? Let's start. In the first part of sensitivity analysis, we looked at changes in the right-hand side value of a constraint. In this second part, we are looking at changes in the objective function coefficients. These changes do not influence the feasible region. The feasible region stays the same, only the objective function changes. The solution mix may remain the same or it may change. To determine the effect, we need to distinguish between basic and non-basic variables as we handle them differently. Remember, basic variables are the ones in the solution mix or basis. Non-basic variables are the ones not in the solution mix and they are set equal to zero. First, we look at how to deal with a change in the objective function coefficients of non-basic variables. Do you have your summary sheet at hand? Yes? Then look on the left-hand side of the summary sheet. The range over which the objective function coefficients of non-basic variables can vary without changing the solution mix is called the range of insignificance. Look at the final tableau on the left-hand side of the summary sheet. Remember, this is the optimal solution of a maximization problem. Can you identify what the non-basic variable in this instance is? Yes, it is x1. A change in the non-basic objective function coefficients only affects the cj minus zj value in the tableau and nothing else. Now we know that the solution mix will not change as long as the cj minus zj values in the bottom row are less than or equal to zero. This means that cj, the objective function coefficient, must be less than or equal to zj as shown on the left-hand side of the summary sheet. So the solution mix will not change as long as the objective function coefficient of x1 is less than the value of z for x1. You will find the value of z in the second last row in the x1 column, which is 60. Therefore, the current solution stays optimal as long as the objective function coefficient of x1 does not exceed 60. This means that you can increase cj up to the value of zj, in this case 60, and decrease cj to negative infinity. Have a look on the summary sheet below the left-hand side tableau to see how we write this as a range. Remember, for a minimization problem, the cj minus zj values must be greater than or equal to zero to be optimal. Now we move to the basic objective function coefficients on the summary sheet. Please follow on the bigger tableau on the right-hand side of the summary sheet. A change in one of these coefficients will affect the cj minus zj and the zj rows. These are the two bottom rows of the tableau. Let's say we change the objective function coefficient of x2 from 120 to 120 plus delta. That is that small triangle. Delta is a Greek capital letter. We use it to denote a change which can be a positive or a negative change. Having changed the objective function coefficient, we now have to recalculate the final tableau. Remember, to change the coefficient in both the x2 row and column. Now recalculate the z value for each column. I'm going to explain to you in detail how to get the z value in the S1 column. Get a pen and paper and do it as we go along. Have a look at the first column of the tableau, the CJ column. You take 120 plus delta in the x2 row and multiply it with 0.25 in the S1 column. What do you get? You should get 30 plus 0.25 delta. To this product, you add the product of 0 from the S2 row with minus 0.25 from the S1 column. So you add 0 to 30 plus 0.25 delta to get 30 plus 0.25 delta. Now you have the z value of S1. Next, we must calculate the CJ minus ZJ value for S1. The top entry in the S1 column is the CJ value for S1, which is 0. Can you see that? Subtract now from 0 the Z value that we've already calculated as 30 plus 0.25 delta to get minus 30 minus 0.25 delta. In the same way, you calculate the CJ minus ZJ values for X1, X2, and S2. Once you have recalculated all CJ minus ZJ values, we set each CJ minus ZJ entry containing a delta equal to or less than 0. Why? Because this is a maximization problem and all the CJ minus ZJ values must be negative for the solution to be optimal. All these inequalities must be satisfied simultaneously. Do you see that there is an AND between the two inequalities below the tableau on the right-hand side of the summary sheet? This means that all these inequalities must be satisfied simultaneously. How do we do that? Well, you solve each inequality on its own and then look for the inequality that is the most binding. One way to determine the most binding inequality is to draw a graph for each inequality on the same axis. See the graph on the bottom right-hand side of the summary sheet. We are drawing graphs for one variable, delta. We have two inequalities, so we have two graphs, that is two horizontal lines. The bottom line is the graph for delta greater than or equal to minus 20, and the top line is the graph for delta greater than or equal to minus 120. Now, draw two vertical lines, so that in between these vertical lines, you have the range where the two lines overlap. This range will tell you the most binding inequality. In our case, the vertical lines are at minus 20 and at the arrowheads, which indicates greater than. Delta greater than or equal to minus 20 is the most binding. The lower bound for delta is minus 20 and the upper bound is infinity. Remember, we changed the objective function coefficient of x2 to 120 plus delta. We substitute the lower and upper bounds of delta to get the range for the objective function coefficient where the solution mix will not change. See the calculation at the bottom right-hand side of the summary sheet. We add minus 20 to 120 for the lower bound of CJ and add infinity to 120 for the upper bound. We then get that as long as the objective function coefficient of x2 is greater than 100, the current solution mix will remain optimal. For a minimization problem, you go about exactly the same way, except that all the CJ minus ZJ entries must remain positive in the reworked tableau. Once again, the sensitivity analysis can only be done for one change at a time. So you can determine the range of each basic objective function coefficient one at a time, We call this range the range of optimality. If you have to deal with more than one change simultaneously, sensitivity analysis cannot be used and the entire problem has to be resolved. As with the previous podcast, I recommend you listen to this podcast more than once. This brings us to the end of the podcast on sensitivity analysis, part 2.